Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 12:08. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I will be here until 3 o'clock today. Al Shock is in the newsroom with the latest on news and weather and information. Josh Wheeler is at the historic WCCO building, making sure all our guests come through on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And it is a beautiful, but very, very, very warm day. And my kids are out and about with their dad, and they had planned to go skating. And so they were at a skating rink, and they got in there, and apparently there's no air conditioning. And my daughter wisely told the owner of the skating rink, "We will see you in the fall," because it is warm outside. It is nice and warm. I am at the studio with the lights off and with the blinds pulled because I want to try to keep my AC as low, as high as possible to get my bill down as low as possible. I am still reeling from a bill from last month. My XL Energy bill was $300. Yeah, $300, almost $400. And I have to tell you that hurt my feelings. It did, because it's school supply time. All the kids have grown out of their shoes. I'm looking for ways to pinch pennies, and that's not possible to do when your AC bill is over $300 a month. Yeah, this is our last outing. This where we, you know, the kids hanging out. Yeah, we're going to be watching. Our activities are going to be watching the Olympic Games. That's what we're going to be doing until the Olympics are over. So for the next 16 days, we're going to be at the Olympics. And after that is the fair. And after that, school. So they can't ask me to go anywhere until we get this electric bill down. This is a family project, right? This is a family project. I was like, you want some new shoes? You want some new clothes to go to school? Andrew, you going off to college? You want to get some new sheets or take these old sheets, the one you've been laying on since you were in sixth grade? You want some new sheets or you want these sixth grade sheets? You know, you have to decide how you want to live your life. Turn those lights off. Close the refrigerator door. You know what's in there. You were just in there 5 minutes ago. Close that blind. And who turned this air down to 70? Who did that? I told him, I said, you want to go to foster care? My kid said, what is foster care? I said, foster care is the place where you go and find a new family. Why'd they get excited? They were excited about going to foster care. These are the children I live with. These, the kids with the books that y'all done all fell in love with, the kids who used to not be able to talk are now talking back, and they're excited about going to foster care. I thought that was a threat. It backfired on me. It did. It really did. And so today we've got a great show lined up. I want you to stick around and be here with me until 3 o'clock. My friend Christy Peel is coming on in just a few minutes. She is an Olympic nerd. Those are her words, not mine. She also has one of the best PR companies in town, Media Mindfield. They also do crisis management. And I had to call her and ask her to come on the show because I saw Snoop Dogg holding the torch at the Olympics last night. Snoop Dogg used to be one of America's most wanted. One of the most hated men in the country. He was on trial for murder. How did he go from that to representing the USA at the Olympics and holding the torch. That blew my mind. And I said, whoever Snoop's PR person is, whoever is his marketing person, they need an award of some kind to take him from where he was and where he started out to not only being one of the most sought after rappers. He's a millionaire 20 times over. And now he is at the Olympic Games holding the torch on primetime TV. We got to talk to Chris DePeel to find out how you go from being America's most wanted to America's most loved. So she's going to be here a little bit later. And I tell you what, I put a call in because I'm tired of all the speculation. I'm tired of I wonder what's going to happen, who she's going to pick. Governor Tim Walz is coming on this show at 1:30 today. And I'm going to ask him straight up, is it you? Are you going to be the vice presidential candidate who's going to stand beside Kamala Harris as she runs for president in this historic run? You know, because we've all at some point applied for a job or two or three or 15. And sometimes you go in and you already know they're going to pick you. You know, you walk up and you meet with the people and they sit you down and they close the door. They say, listen. We got five candidates. Now, we're going to pick you, but we got to interview these other dudes, you know, just to make them feel good. But at the end of the day, don't you worry. You got our vote. We're picking you. We just got to make this look good. You know, no process is ever completely fair. The closer I get to the top of this food chain, the more I realize that. Because I was down at the bottom at some point. For a while, and I would apply for these jobs, and I would be praying that, oh my God, I hope I get this job. And then I get a call from somebody on the inside. They'd be like, girl, they're gonna get this to Bob. They're gonna get this to Corey. They're gonna get this to Jason. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I applied. I interviewed. They said, yeah, but they already made their minds up before you interviewed. They knew who they were gonna get a job to. That happens so much. So I need to ask. And I'm just going to be bold enough to ask Governor Walz when he comes on the show, have they already made their mind up? Is it you? Because I don't know about anybody else. But I saw a trend. I saw a trend coming. I was sitting here and I was doing some work and I look up and Governor Walz is on CNN. I'm like, what is he doing on CNN? Why is he? And then the next thing I know, he's going viral. And then the next thing I know, the young people are falling in love with him. And they're using all the young people words. And then the next thing I know, he's got a nickname, America's Favorite Uncle. Now, my son Andrew, who knows Governor Walz, who's met him before, ain't never, like, you know, been bragging about the fact that he knows. That's just not, you know, a part of his regular conversation. I hear him talking to his friends. These are first-time voters, 18-year-old young men in his graduating class from Park High School and some of our friends from church. And they're talking about Governor Walz. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I met him a couple of times. I'm like, what? He dropping Governor Walz's name like he Beyonce or something. Like I met Beyonce. What? I'm like, what is he talking about Governor Tim Walz for? Surely this is like some kind of skit he's putting together. No. He's popular among the young people. They're sharing his post. They're TikToking his videos and speeches. Honey, I tell you. So we're going to talk about all of that today at 1:30. And, you know, at first, Governor Walz was going to give me 5 minutes. And I was like, dude, I can't really do nothing in 5 minutes. Okay? I can't do nothing. I need 10 good hot minutes. So we've got 10 minutes at 1:30. And I know I got some questions, but I know you may have some questions too. So I want you to give us a call, 651-461-9226, or text us at that same number, 651-461-9226. If you have a question for Governor Tim Walz and you want me to ask it, send it in. Josh is right there. We're going to answer your calls. We're going to take your text messages because there may be something that you want to know directly from him that you may never get a chance to ask him, that he may never get a chance to answer until today. So my access is your access, right? Y'all know me. Let's all get it together. So send in your questions, call us and let us know what you want us to ask Governor Tim Walz when he comes on this show at 1:30. And I'm telling you, at least one or two of those questions we'll be asking him directly and expect him to answer. So send us those questions, send us those texts. We'll be back. I'm telling you, he is just like pure sunshine. Every time you turn on the TV, CNN, PBS, NewsHour, he's there, Governor Tim Walz. You know, folks have fallen in love with him. I don't know how many calls I've gotten, text messages, DMs this week. Like, I saw y'all, Governor Tim Walz. I was like, no, it's not Walz. He's not dancing. It's not Fred Astaire, it's Walz, but it's okay. Go ahead. Yeah, I saw y'all governor on TV. He is so funny. He like everybody's favorite uncle. I'm telling you, he was like the dark horse that came out of the pack. And, you know, his earned media, his likability, folks are just really gravitating toward him. And, you know, if you look at the list of folks who they've been vetting, to be Kamala Harris's vice presidential pick before and ahead of this convention. I don't know when this whole process started if I would have put Tim Walz at the top of the list. I'm telling you, I don't know if I would have done it. I know who he is. I think he would be a great pick for her. He is a decent man, a military veteran, a teacher, an educator. He got a cat and a dog, and so, you know, Hope, his daughter, he understands, you know, the struggles that some parents face to have children and the importance of, you know, having good health care to make that happen and make it affordable for families who want to start a family and have difficulty doing that. You know, he's been on the front line of some causes. He's also had some challenges. You know, I can just see the GOP, if he's selected, queuing up the video of our city burning after George Floyd died. You know, and so there's some pluses and some, you know, some concerns there. But I tell you this, the way that this country has fallen in love with him and are you know, doing the viral videos of young kids, how they are energized behind him. I don't know if anybody else is surprised, but I think that he has blown some folks away and out of the water, and I would just not be surprised if he was her pick. That's just me. You know, that's just me. I know there's some other good candidates who are out there who are, you know, being vetted and, you know, would just do a great job. But I just think seeing in the last week how people have gravitated toward Governor Walz, it is just a testament of what this country is looking for. So he's going to be here at 1:30, and folks are, you know, calling and texting on the Stiles Financial Talk and text line, because originally I had 5 minutes with him and now I've got 10. And so, you know, some folks have questions for the governor that they'd like to ask that they may never get a chance to do. And so if you call or text and you have a question for Governor Tim Walz and you like for me to ask that, I'd be more than happy to do that for you. And some people just don't follow instructions. You know, I love my listeners, but y'all just do it how y'all want to do it. And y'all already know I'm on social. So some of y'all, instead of going on the Stiles Financial Talk and Text line at 651-461-9226 and sending in your questions, you are doing that on social media. I've got a note right here from Sean, and she says, last night at a rally, Trump said, if you vote this year, you'll never have to vote again. Does that kind of rhetoric concern you? So that is a good question. I may be asking that one there. And then Jabbar wants to know, do you have an update? We need an indication of when she'll choose a candidate. Have you heard anything more about this job? And so so we're going to see if that one makes the cut. And also, are you surprised by the sudden popularity nationwide? You know, again, I was sitting in here in my kitchen, minding my own business, doing my work. And I looked up at CNN And Governor Walz was there, went to PBS. He was there. He's being quoted in the Washington Post, the New York Times, the LA Times, newspapers all across the country. And so, you know, that is a good question. I wonder if, you know, the sudden rise in popularity is surprising to him. You know, but people have really just gravitated toward him, you know, just being so down home and being so relatable, not necessarily the quote unquote political politician that we're accustomed to seeing. But, you know, politics is just so different now and it's so dramatic. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm loving it. Like I'm watching CNN, like I'm watching a Jordan Peele movie. With the popcorn and my legs crossed and my blanket and the lights low, because there's always something going on. Always something going on, whether it's the Cat Lady comments and J.D. Vance, who is, you know, here in the, you know, going to be in the Twin Cities today, or, you know, what Trump said last night at a rally about never having to vote again. And, you know, he's going to be here. And then they've got the long lines, you know, already at this rally in St. Cloud, and how, you know, the black population in that community is up 800%. You know, and he is, you know, Trump is going to be there tonight. And so people have already started lining up. I was watching Adam Wexler's report on Channel 4 this morning, and he was showing the video, and they're not even opening the doors until 3 o'clock. And as hot as it is outside, people have already started lining up. And so they're excited to be there. They were talking to one of the folks who was already lined up. And a lady said that the atmosphere was lively and festive and people were, you know, getting along and, you know, everybody was happy to be there. And another young man said they were passing out water to make sure people stayed hydrated. But they're going to have a big crowd at this event if people are already lining up. And that was 8 o'clock this morning when I was watching Reg Chapman, my brother, on Channel 4 CBS News, our sister station. And, you know, if they're already lining up at 8 and the doors don't open till 3 and the event's not even until tonight, that's like Taylor Swiftish. They are excited and ready to be there. So, you know, I definitely will be tuned in and listening to what he has to say tonight. And then J.D. Vance, his running mate, his vice presidential pick at a private fundraising event. And so we've just got a lot. All eyes on Minnesota. I don't know about y'all, but this is exciting. This is exciting. You know, that people are really taking a look at our state. And that just doesn't put eyes on, you know, Governor Tim Walz, but that puts eyes on everybody in our legislature, right? That put eyes on our policies and procedures, and that puts eyes on, you know, our infrastructure, that puts eyes on our city. And it's exciting that people are looking at Minneapolis while we're not burning down. You know, the last time our city had this kind of attention, it was after the murder of George Floyd. When we had national media attention, think about this. When we had national media attention, it was 4 years ago. When we had this kind of coverage where folks were coming from all over the country and all over the world to cover our city, to cover our state, it was tragic. And so I don't know about you, but I'm just excited to show Minneapolis in a new light, to show our leaders as not just, you know, state leaders, but national leaders, to, you know, show off our policies that we have where we pay for children's lunches and we don't allow them to go hungry, where we pour money into special education and early education, right? Because there are some states that don't even have pre-kindergarten and kindergarten. How our legislators work from both sides of the aisle to take care of our residents, how we are good stewards over our taxes, how we are one of the cleanest states because we don't fool around with that litter. Mm-hmm. How we're leaders in recycling. You know, I appreciate that now that the national media is back in town, besides a sporting event, after the murder of George Floyd, that we're able to show the true Minnesota and what we're made of, and how we're leaders on so many good and positive things. So, okay, speaking of good and positive, my girlfriend, Krista Peel, who always has a smile on her face because her job is to make people look good and happy, she will be here to talk to me about these Olympic Games and how in the heezy did Snoop Dogg wind up in the PC. We'll be back to talk about that next. It is 12:36. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. We are still taking your calls and texts on the Styles Financial Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. Governor Tim Walz will be joining me at 1:30. So if you have a question for him and you'd like for me to ask, I've got a few extra minutes with him today. Go ahead and send those in. Josh is writing them down right now. And we're going to pick a couple of them and put them on the hot seat because, you know, I don't give out questions. They don't get to tell me what to ask. And so I'm going to ask some of the questions from you all. He is not just the governor, my governor. He's your governor, too. And so if you have some questions, you want answers, go ahead and send that in. And we will be putting those out there to him and asking him to respond today when he comes on the show. At 1:30. So make sure you tune in. Now, listen, I watched last night the opening for the Olympics, and it was beautiful. It was amazing. The rain caused all kind of drama, you know, just trying to see the camera people at NBC keep the lens clean. They were out there on floating barges. I thought it was so awesome that they had the boats. You know, nobody had ever done anything like that. You know, they always march around the stadium, but the fact that they were on boats, and how did they get them to go out there on the boats in the rain? See, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I would have gone. I don't know if I would have taken that chance, because I was watching with Serena and Carl Lewis and they were on the little boat and they were, you know, passing the torch or whatever. And it got a little choppy and they had to hold on. I saw Carl Lewis. He had a little concern in his face. And they had just so much going on, and they lit up the Eiffel Tower. And there's nobody I know who loves the Olympics more than my friend Krista Peel with Media Mindfield. So I asked her to come on the show today so we can talk all about it. And she's joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. What's up, Krista?
Hey, Shaletta. How are you?
Girl, I'm doing good. Now, you got to tell me honest thoughts about last night's opening ceremonies. Was it just enough? Was it too much? Did they go over the top? Did they not go far enough? Give me your honest assessment.
You know, I had got up this morning and went down and looked at the couch where I was sitting last night and had to pick up the tissues from all the tearing up and all the weeping that I did, because between the Olympics and that opening ceremony and the moving commercials, they nailed it.
Okay, what was the thing that stood out to you most?
That Eiffel Tower and the laser show, and, you know, the rain, no one wanted that rain. The clouds made those lasers kind of extend, so that was really powerful. But I think the thing that sort of took my breath away was when they lit the cauldron and it went up via some sort of like hot air balloon magic. And then Celine Dion sang. It was just such a spectacle, and it felt very French and international, and it felt fresh, which you and I were texting about last night.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something new and different. And, you know, what got me was the boat cruise, the boat rides, where they were, you know, every country was on a different boat. And it was just so different than what, you know, traditionally is done.
And it felt unique. It also felt a little unexpected because, as you mentioned earlier, the boat was a little choppy. Is everything going to be okay? Are they going to fall in? And then there's people dancing and playing everything from, you know, Lady Gaga playing the piano to rock and roll music to the art. I mean, all the Minions made an appearance. All these different things were happening. And there was sort of something for everyone.
Yeah. Now, you know, everybody not going to be happy. I was online last night because I knew you were coming on, and I wanted to see what you had to say about some of the doubters and naysayers and folks who didn't like it. Now, my friend Terry Gray, who works over at TPT, he's an audio engineer, and he says, I got to say, this is the strangest Olympic ceremony I've ever seen. Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson add absolutely nothing to the commentary. He says, if she says, oh, that's cool, one more time. He said, Tirico is doing all the heavy lifting and might as well be doing it solo. He said, just toss to Uncle Snoop. He'll get us there. You know, and you know, the folks in the comments were like, I don't know. I don't like Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning. It's like they asked them to ad-lib the whole thing without giving them talking points. You know, that commentary is so important to go along with those visuals. Do you think we had the right people in place, you know, to make this moment move like it needed to?
I totally hear what those people are saying, and there are moments that I felt it. I think what I appreciated about it, even though, yes, I mean, I worked in television news for a long time, they certainly didn't seem like they were, you know, as polished as Hoda or Savannah, but they brought an element of real people. And I get it, it's hard to say that Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning are like the rest of us, but they at points didn't have any words and sort of were dumbfounded and were captivated just by the incredible strangeness / amazingness of the whole thing. And that had a realness to it. Now, did NBC maybe go too far in allowing them to have no script and no direction? Maybe. I predict that the closing ceremony will probably have those same players, but I bet they'll have a few more talking points. The other thing that I think we maybe don't know that could have happened is that the plans may have had to change because of the arson threats that were happening in the subway and because of the rain. So possible that they were a little bit more prepared and things changed. And Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning, well, Kelly Clarkson is very good at her show, which has a lot of scripting. And Peyton Manning, I suspect, has a lot of scripting for his podcast and the things he's involved with. So that environment may have been a little bit new to them. And it did have that feeling.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, before you and I start texting last night, I knew that you enjoyed the Olympics, but I didn't know you were the Olympics nerd, where you were on a couch and everybody in your life knew not to bother you at that time because you would be enjoying the opening ceremonies. You were crying, you were laughing, you were having a good time. The reason that I called you and wanted you to be on the show is because what blew me away was the fact that Snoop Dogg is holding the Olympic torch. Now, if you want to take this train all the way back to the station, Snoop Dogg was at one point America's Most Wanted. He was on trial for killing a man. You know, he was acquitted. But you know, thanks to Johnny Cochran and some good lawyering. But he, you know, at one point was one of the most hated rappers in America. They were talking about banning his music and, you know, not letting him perform in certain places. And he definitely did not have the support of this country. And now he goes from that Snoop Dogg to the Snoop Dogg who is in Paris at the Olympics, and not just there as a spectator, but he is holding the torch, and the torchbearers are representatives of our country. Now, Christy Peele, like I told y'all earlier, she has one of the most amazing PR media companies, Crisis Management in town, Media Mindfield, and I respect her so much for the work that she does for her clients with her business. And so when I looked at that, I thought, how did that happen? How did Snoop Dogg go from being one of America's Most Wanted, which is the name of one of his albums, to a torchbearer for America at the Olympic Games? So Christy does this thing for a living. So when we come back, I want to find out from my friend Christy Peele how this happens. How do you do that for your clients? More with Christy when we come back. Everybody get up and listen to this woman, because baby, let me tell you something. When it comes to public relations and media and crisis management, she is the person for your business or your company. And Christy, you got to tell folks how they can get in touch with you, because Media Mindfield has been around a couple of years. But, you know, anytime somebody comes to me and says, oh, my God, we got this big thing and it's going bad and it's going south and we're trying to figure out how to manage it, I'm like, don't call me, call Jesus. And then you call Christy Peele, because she can be the one to help you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Media Mindfield, 14, it'll be 14 years old in September. Go to the website, Media Mindfield. You can find us there, and any social media platforms, you can find me or the company, and we will get back to you if you slide into our DMs, as the kids say.
You know what? And y'all are so responsive, and you know, you do so much to make sure that companies and organizations have the tools that they need. Public relations, you coach up executives, you know, just all that stuff that you do that, you know, people take for granted that folks already know and they don't. And, you know, last night when I was watching the Olympics and I thought of you, I was like, can you please come on my show? Because you have to explain to me how Snoop Dogg went from rapping about being one of America's most wanted to being a torchbearer. He wasn't just at the Olympics hanging out with his family. He's carrying the torch, the freaking torch. You know, that is I'm talking a whole full circle moment. And you know, for somebody to go from, you know, being, you know, one of the, you know, most detested, quote unquote, gangster rappers to representing our country at the Olympics, you know, as a public relations person and a media person, how does that happen? How can you repair that image? Because, Christy, you and I both know folks are getting canceled left and right for doing a whole lot less than, you know, what Snoop Dogg was accused of doing in his rap lyrics and his music. And, you know, and he still found a way to be the guy that we all know and love today.
It's remarkable. And it speaks to, I think, one of the reasons that I love the Olympics so much is that it unites us. And there are so many redemptive stories that show up in the Olympics. And Snoop Dogg is the poster child of what America can stand for, frankly, and that is forgiveness, redemptive qualities, and unity. He, you know, almost 30 years ago had the trial that you mentioned, acquitted of murder, and was not just, you know, an edgy guy, but a criminal, as many people viewed him, even though he wasn't convicted. But he didn't have a great reputation, and certainly right. NBC was not going to connect their brand to him. However, the folks around him, his team, spent years, decades, redeeming his brand and allowing Snoop to be Snoop, which I think is one of the things that they did really well. He's still edgy. He's still out there talking about smoking his weed and, you know, it's not criminal anymore, but he still isn't someone who's necessarily mainstream. Not that I don't even know what mainstream is anymore, because the beautiful thing about America is there's so many different perspectives and cultures and genders and all these different things, right? It's so amazing what America means because it's just such a big tent. And Snoop is there as someone who can speak for a certain part of America. Not everyone probably is sitting around like you are cheering for him. My teenagers, my 20-something-year-old was like, this is so great that Snoop is there because he brings a different vibe. That's not for everybody. Kelly Clarkson brings a vibe. Peyton Manning brings a vibe. Mm-hmm. And Snoop was there with this different kind of audience, and he got to be himself, which I'm certain they told him, like, Snoop, keep the language, you know, family friendly. But he was very authentic to who he is. So over the course of decades, he was able to maintain his edgy, relevant brand, and he cleaned himself up. He's not, you know, getting arrested and being accused of crime. So he's done a lot of work on himself, and he never went away, which is those are the hallmarks: authentic forgiveness, asking and showing for forgiveness, which he's done over time, and got to give him credit.
Yeah. And, you know, my kids don't even know rapper Snoop Dogg. They know this Snoop Dogg. Like he's a different guy to a different generation. Like, my kids know him as Snoop Dogg, the voiceover actor, because he's in so many of their favorite movies. He's, you know, the voiceover artist for characters that they've come to love. And, you know, they've got the stuffed animals. And so that's how they know Snoop Dogg. They've never heard him rap. There's a whole generation of folks watching the Olympics who have never heard Snoop Dogg rap a lyric.
And those of us who do remember that, the 90s version of Snoop Dogg, we have short memories. Up until last night when you texted, remember when he was accused of murder? Right? I mean, I remembered it when you said it, and I remembered that he had a reputation that was different than what my kids think of him, but it just speaks to our short memories collectively and how we have capacity to view people through different lenses.
Yes, ma'am. Well, girl, I tell you, I need you to work on that Snoop Dogg thing for me. I'm coming over there Monday, and I want to be at the next Olympics. It's in L.A. We're gonna fix all this stuff up. We're gonna get our Snoop Dogg on over here, girl. I want to be part of that torch bearing thing. I said, look at. Yeah, he got a good PR. He got good media people behind him. And we got a good media PR company here with Christy Peel and Media Minefield. Thank you for coming on the show, girl, and explaining how that miracle happened.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. I will text you while watching the Olympics. I got to get back. There's swimming on. There's these sports are happening I've never heard of before. Like, it's 2 weeks of awesomeness right now, Shaletta.
Right. And, you know, for folks who are wondering, Comcast and Peacock are making this available so you can watch every single thing. I've got a story about it up on my website at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. If you're wondering how you can see some of these things that are not on in prime time, I know that Comcast and their Peacock network, they're streaming some stuff. So you can go on my website, ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, and it'll explain how you can watch anything you want to watch with the Olympics. And we got Governor Tim Walz coming up on The Shaletta Show. It is 12:08. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. I will be here until 3 o'clock today. Al Shock is in the newsroom with the latest on news and weather and information. Josh Wheeler is at the historic WCCO building, making sure all our guests come through on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And it is a beautiful, but very, very, very warm day. And my kids are out and about with their dad, and they had planned to go skating. And so they were at a skating rink, and they got in there, and apparently there's no air conditioning. And my daughter wisely told the owner of the skating rink, we will see you in the fall, because it is warm outside. It is nice and warm. I am at the studio with the lights off and with the blinds pulled, because I want to try to keep my AC as low, as high as possible, to get my bill down as low as possible. I am still reeling from a bill from last month. My XL Energy bill was $300. Yeah, almost $400. And I have to tell you that hurt my feelings. It did, because it's school supply time. All the kids have grown out of their shoes. I'm looking for ways to pinch pennies, and that's not possible to do when your AC bill is over $300 a month. This is our last outing. This where we, you know, the kids hanging out. Yeah, we're gonna be watching. Our activities are going to be watching the Olympic Games. That's what we're gonna be doing until the Olympics are over. So for the next 16 days, we're gonna be at the Olympics, and after that is the fair, and after that, school. So they can't ask me to go anywhere until we get this electric bill down. This is a family project, right? This is a family project. I was like, you want some new shoes? You want some new clothes to go to school? Andrew, you going off to college? You want to get some new sheets, or take these old sheets, the one you've been laying on since you were in sixth grade? You want some new sheets, or you want these sixth grade sheets? You know, you have to decide how you want to live your life. Turn those lights off. Close the refrigerator door. You know what's in there. You were just in there 5 minutes ago. Close that blind. And who turned this air down to 70? Who did that? I told him, I said, you want to go to foster care? My kid said, what is foster care? I said, foster care is the place where you go and find a new family. Why'd they get excited? They were excited about going to foster care. These are the children I live with. These, the kids with the books that y'all all fell in love with, the kids who used to not be able to talk are now talking back, and they're excited about going to foster care. I thought that was a threat. It backfired on me. It did. It really did. And so today we've got a great show lined up. I want you to stick around and be here with me until 3 o'clock. My friend Christy Peel is coming on in just a few minutes. She is an Olympic nerd. Those are her words, not mine. She also has one of the best PR companies in town, Media Minefield. They also do crisis management. And I had to call her and ask her to come on the show, because I saw Snoop Dogg holding the torch at the Olympics last night. Snoop Dogg used to be one of America's most wanted. One of the most hated men in the country. He was on trial for murder. How did he go from that to representing the USA at the Olympics and holding the torch? That blew my mind. And I said, whoever Snoop's PR person is, whoever is his marketing person, they need an award of some kind to take him from where he was and where he started out to not only being one of the most sought after rappers, he's a millionaire 20 times over. And now he is at the Olympic Games holding the torch on primetime TV. We got to talk to Chris DePeel to find out how you go from being America's most wanted to America's most loved. So she's going to be here a little bit later. And I tell you what, I put a call in. Because I'm tired of all the speculation. I'm tired of, I wonder what's going to happen, who she's going to pick. Governor Tim Walz is coming on this show at 1:30 today. And I'm going to ask him straight up, is it you? Are you going to be the vice presidential candidate who's going to stand beside Kamala Harris as she runs for president in this historic run? You know, because we've all at some point applied for a job or two or three or 15. And sometimes you go in and you already know they're going to pick you. You know, you walk up and you meet with the people and they sit you down and they close the door. They say, listen, we got five candidates. Now we're going to pick you, but we got to interview these other dudes. You know, just to make them feel good. But at the end of the day, don't you worry. You got our vote. We're picking you. We just got to make this look good. You know, no process is ever completely fair. The closer I get to the top of this food chain, the more I realize that. Because I was down at the bottom at some point for a while. And I would apply for these jobs and I would be praying that, oh my God, I hope I get this job. And then I get a call from somebody on the inside. They'd be like, girl, they're going to get this to Bob. They're going to get this to Corey. They're going to get this to Jason. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I applied. I interviewed. They said, yeah, but they already made their minds up. Before you interviewed, they knew who they were going to get a job to. That happens so much. So I need to ask. And I'm just going to be bold enough to ask Governor Walz when he comes on the show. Have they already made their mind up? Is it you? Because I don't know about anybody else. But I saw a trend. I saw a trend coming. I was sitting here and I was doing some work and I look up and Governor Walz is on CNN. I'm like, what is he doing on CNN? Why is he? And then the next thing I know, he's going viral. And then the next thing I know, the young people are falling in love with him. And they're using all the young people words. And then the next thing I know, he's got a nickname, America's Favorite Uncle. Now, my son Andrew, who knows Governor Walz, who's met him before, ain't never, like, you know, been bragging about the fact that he knows. That's just not, you know, a part of his regular conversation. I hear him talking to his friends. These are first-time voters, 18-year-old young men in his graduating class from Park High School and some of our friends from church. And they're talking about Governor Walz. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I met him a couple of times. I'm like, what? He dropping Governor Walz's name like he Beyonce or something. Like I met Beyonce. What? I'm like, what is he talking about Governor Tim Walz for? Surely this is like some kind of skit he's putting together. No. He's popular among the young people. They're sharing his post. They're TikToking his videos and speeches. Honey, I tell you, so we're going to talk about all of that today at 1:30. And, you know, at first, Governor Walz was going to give me 5 minutes. And I was like, dude, I can't really do nothing in 5 minutes. Okay? I can do nothing. I need 10 good hot minutes. So we've got 10 minutes at 1:30. And I know I got some questions, but I know you may have some questions too. So I want you to give us a call, 651-461-9226, or text us at that same number, 651-461-9226. If you have a question for Governor Tim Walz and you want me to ask it, send it in. Josh is right there We're going to answer your calls. We're going to take your text messages, because there may be something that you want to know directly from him that you may never get a chance to ask him, that he may never get a chance to answer until today. So my access is your access, right? Y'all know me. Let's all go. Let's all get it together. So send in your questions. Call us and let us know what you want us to ask Governor Tim Walz when he comes on this show at 1:30. And I'm telling you, at least one or two of those questions we'll be asking him directly and expect him to answer. So send us those questions. Send us those texts. We'll be back. I'm telling you, he is just like pure sunshine. Every time you turn on the TV, CNN, PBS, NewsHour, he's there, Governor Tim Walz. You know, folks have fallen in love with him. I don't know how many calls I've gotten, text messages, DMs this week. Like, I saw y'all, Governor Tim Walz. I was like, no, it's not Walz. He's not dancing. It's not Fred Astaire, it's Walz, but it's okay. Go ahead. Yeah, I saw y'all governor on TV. He is so funny. He like everybody's favorite uncle. I'm telling you, he was like the dark horse that came out of the pack. And, you know, his earned media, his likability, folks are just really gravitating toward him. And, you know, if you look at the list of folks who they've been vetting to be Kamala Harris's vice presidential pick, before and ahead of this convention, I don't know when this whole process started if I would have put Tim Walz at the top of the list. I'm telling you, I don't know if I would have done it. I know who he is. I think he would be a great pick for her. He is a decent man, a military veteran, a teacher, an educator. He got a cat and a dog. And so, you know, the Hope, his daughter, he understands, you know, the struggles that some parents face to have children and the importance of, you know, having good health care to make that happen and make it affordable for families who want to start a family and have difficulty doing that. You know, he's been on the front line of some causes. He's also had some challenges. You know, I can just see the GOP, if he's selected, queuing up the video of our city burning after George Floyd died. You know, and so there's some pluses and some, you know, some concerns there. But I tell you this, the way that this country has fallen in love with him and are you know, doing the viral videos of young kids, how they are energized behind him. I don't know if anybody else is surprised, but I think that he has blown some folks away and out of the water, and I would just not be surprised if he was her pick. That's just me. You know, that's just me. I know there's some other good candidates who are out there who are, you know, being vetted and, you know, would just do a great job. But I just think seeing in the last week how people have gravitated toward Governor Walz, it is just a testament of what this country is looking for. So he's going to be here at 1:30, and folks are, you know, calling and texting on the Stiles Financial Talk and text line, because originally I had 5 minutes with him and now I've got 10. And so, you know, some folks have questions for the governor that they'd like to ask that they may never get a chance to do. And so if you call or text and you have a question for Governor Tim Walz and you like for me to ask that, I'd be more than happy to do that for you. And some people just don't follow instructions. You know, they I love my listeners, but y'all just do it how y'all want to do it. And y'all already know I'm on social. So some of y'all, instead of going on the Stiles Financial Talk and Text line at 651-461-9226 and sending in your questions, you are doing that on social media. I've got a note right here from Sean, and she says, last night at a rally, Trump said, if you vote this year, you'll never have to vote again. Does that kind of rhetoric concern you? So that is a good question. I may be asking that one there. And then Jabbar wants to know, do you have an update? We need an indication of when she'll choose a candidate. Have you heard anything more about this job? And so so we're going to see if that one makes the cut. And also, are you surprised by the sudden popularity nationwide? You know, again, I was sitting in here in my kitchen, minding my own business, doing my work. And I looked up at CNN and Governor Walz was there, went to PBS. He was there. He's being quoted in the Washington Post, the New York Times, the L.A. Times, newspapers all across the country. And so, you know, that is a good question. I wonder if, you know, the sudden rise in popularity is surprising to him. You know, but people have really just gravitated toward him, you know, just being so down home and being so relatable, not necessarily the quote unquote political politician that we're accustomed to seeing. But, you know, politics is just so different now and it's so dramatic. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm loving it. Like I'm watching CNN, like I'm watching a Jordan Peele movie. With the popcorn and my legs crossed and my blanket and the lights low, because there's always something going on. Always something going on, whether it's the Cat Lady comments and J.D. Vance, who is, you know, here in the, you know, going to be in the Twin Cities today, or, you know, what Trump said last night at a rally about never having to vote again. And, you know, he's going to be here. And then they've got the long lines, you know, already at this rally in St. Cloud, and how, you know, the black population in that community is up 800%. You know, and he is, you know, Trump is going to be there tonight. And so people have already started lining up. I was watching Adam Wexler's report on Channel 4 this morning, and he was showing the video, and they're not even opening the doors until 3 o'clock. And as hot as it is outside, people have already started lining up. And so they're excited to be there. They were talking to one of the folks who was already lined up. And a lady said that the atmosphere was lively and festive and people were, you know, getting along and, you know, everybody was happy to be there. And another young man said they were passing out water to make sure people stayed hydrated. But they're going to have a big crowd at this event if people are already lining up. And that was 8 o'clock this morning when I was watching Reg Chapman, my brother, on Channel 4, CBS News, our sister station. And, you know, if they're already lining up at 8 and the doors don't open till 3, and the event's not even until tonight, that's like Taylor Swiftish. They are excited and ready to be there. So, you know, I definitely will be tuned in and listening to what he has to say tonight. And then J.D. Vance, his running mate, his vice presidential pick at a private fundraising event. And so we've just got a lot. All eyes on Minnesota. I don't know about y'all, but this is exciting. This is exciting. You know, that people are really taking a look at our state. And that just doesn't put eyes on, you know, Governor Tim Walz, but that puts eyes on everybody in our legislature, right? That put eyes on our policies and procedures, and that puts eyes on, you know, our infrastructure, that puts eyes on our city. And it's exciting that people are looking at Minneapolis. Why we're not burning down? You know, the last time our city had this kind of attention, it was after the murder of George Floyd. When we had national media attention, think about this. When we had national media attention, it was 4 years ago. When we had this kind of coverage where folks were coming from all over the country and all over the world to cover our city, to cover our state, it was tragic. And so I don't know about you, but I'm just excited to show Minneapolis in a new light, to show our leaders as not just, you know, state leaders, but national leaders, to, you know, show off our policies that we have where we pay for children's lunches and we don't allow them to go hungry, where we pour money into special education and early education, right? Because there are some states that don't even have pre-kindergarten and kindergarten. How our legislators work from both sides of the aisle to take care of our residents, how we are good stewards over our taxes, how we are one of the cleanest states because we don't fool around with that litter, how we're leaders in recycling. You know, I appreciate that now that the national media is back in town, besides a sporting event, after the murder of George Floyd, that we're able to show the true Minnesota and what we're made of, and how we're leaders on so many good and positive things. So, okay, speaking of good and positive, my girlfriend, Krista Peel, who always has a smile on her face because her job is to make people look good and happy, she will be here to talk to me about these Olympic Games and how in the heezy did Snoop Dogg wind up in the PC. We'll be back to talk about that next. It is 12:36. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. We are still taking your calls and texts on the Styles Financial Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. Governor Tim Walz will be joining me at 1:30. So if you have a question for him and you'd like for me to ask, I've got a few extra minutes with him today. Go ahead and send those in. Josh is writing them down right now. And we're going to pick a couple of them and put them on the hot seat because, you know, I don't give out questions. They don't get to tell me what to ask. And so I'm going to ask some of the questions from you all. He is not just the governor, my governor. He's your governor, too. And so if you have some questions, you want answers, go ahead and send that in. And we will be putting those out there to him and asking him to respond today when he comes on the show. At 1:30. So make sure you tune in. Now, listen, I watched last night the opening for the Olympics, and it was beautiful. It was amazing. The rain caused all kind of drama, you know, just trying to see the camera people at NBC keep the lens clean. They were out there on floating barges. You know, I thought it was so awesome that they had the boats. You know, nobody had ever done anything like that. You know, they always march around the stadium, but the fact that they were on boats, and how did they get them to go out there on the boats in the rain? See, I wouldn't have, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I would have gone. I don't know if I would have taken that chance, because I was watching with Serena and Carl Lewis, and they were on the little boat, and they were, you know, passing the torch or whatever, and it got a little choppy, and they had to hold on. I saw Carl Lewis. He had a little concern in his face, and they had just so much going on, and they lit up the Eiffel Tower, and there's nobody I know who loves the Olympics more than my friend Krista Peel with Media Mindfield. So I asked her to come on the show today so we can talk all about it. And she's joining me courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. What's up, Krista?
Hey, Shaletta. How are you?
Girl, I'm doing good. Now, you got to tell me honest thoughts about last night's opening ceremonies. Was it just enough? Was it too much? Did they go over the top? Did they not go far enough? Give me your honest assessment.
You know, I had got up this morning and went down and looked at the couch where I was sitting last night and had to pick up the tissues from all the tearing up and all the weeping that I did, because between the Olympics and that opening ceremony and the moving commercials, they nailed it.
Okay, what was the thing that stood out to you most?
That Eiffel Tower and the laser show, and, you know, the rain, no one wanted that rain. The clouds made those lasers kind of extend, so that was really powerful. But I think the thing that sort of took my breath away was when they lit the cauldron and it went up via some sort of like hot air balloon magic. And then Celine Dion sang, it was just such a spectacle, and it felt very French and international, and it felt fresh, which you and I were texting about last night.
Yeah. It was something new and different. And, you know, what got me was the boat cruise, the boat rides, where they were, you know, every country was on a different boat. And it was just so different than what, you know, traditionally is done.
And it felt unique. It also felt a little unexpected because, as you mentioned earlier, the boat was a little choppy. Is everything going to be okay? Are they going to fall in? And then there's people dancing and playing everything from, you know, Lady Gaga playing the piano to rock and roll music to the art. I mean, all the Minions made an appearance. All these different things were happening. And there was sort of something for everyone.
Yeah. Now, you know, everybody not going to be happy. I was online last night because I knew you were coming on, and I wanted to see what you had to say about some of the doubters and naysayers and folks who didn't like it. Now, my friend Terry Gray, who works over at TPT, he's an audio engineer, and he says, I got to say, this is the strangest Olympic ceremony I've ever seen. Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson add absolutely nothing to the commentary. He says, if she says, oh, that's cool, one more time. He said, Tirico is doing all the heavy lifting and might as well be doing it solo. He said, just toss to Uncle Snoop. He'll get us there. You know, and you know, the folks in the comments were like, I don't know. I don't like Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning. It's like they asked them to ad-lib the whole thing without giving them talking points. You know, that commentary is so important to go along with those visuals. Do you think we had the right people in place, you know, to make this moment move like it needed to?
I totally hear what those people are saying, and there are moments that I felt it. I think what I appreciated about it, even though, yes, I mean, I worked in television news for a long time, they certainly didn't seem like they were, you know, as polished as Hoda or Savannah, but they brought an element of real people. And I get it. It's hard to say that Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning are like the rest of us, but they at points didn't have any words and sort of were dumbfounded and were captivated just by the incredible strangeness / amazingness of the whole thing. And that had I don't know, it just had a realness to it. Now, did NBC maybe go too far in allowing them to have no script and no direction? Maybe. I predict that the closing ceremony will probably have those same players, but I bet they'll have a few more talking points. The other thing that I think we maybe don't know that could have happened is that the plans may have had to change because of the arson threats that were happening in the subway and because of the rain. So possible that they were a little bit more prepared and things changed. And Kelly Clarkson and Peyton Manning, well, Kelly Clarkson is very good at her show, which has a lot of scripting. And Peyton Manning, I suspect, has a lot of scripting for his podcast and the things he's involved with. So that environment may have been a little bit new to them. And it did have that feeling.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, before you and I started texting last night, I knew that you enjoyed the Olympics, but I didn't know you were the Olympics nerd, where you were on a couch and everybody in your life knew not to bother you at that time because you would be enjoying the opening ceremonies. You were crying, you were laughing, you were having a good time. The reason that I called you and wanted you to be on the show is because what blew me away was the fact that Snoop Dogg is holding the Olympic torch. Now, if you want to take this train all the way back to the station, Snoop Dogg was at one point America's Most Wanted. He was on trial for killing a man. You know, he was acquitted. But you know, thanks to Johnny Cochran and some good lawyering. But he, you know, at one point was one of the most hated rappers in America. They were talking about banning his music and, you know, not letting him perform in certain places. And he definitely did not have the support of this country. And now he goes from that Snoop Dogg to the Snoop Dogg who is in Paris at the Olympics, and not just there as a spectator, but he is holding the torch, and the torchbearers are representatives of our country. Now, Christy Peele, like I told y'all earlier, she has one of the most amazing PR media companies, crisis management in town, Media Mindfield, and I respect her so much for the work that she does for her clients with her business. And so when I looked at that, I thought, how did that happen? How does Snoop Dogg go from being one of America's Most Wanted, which is the name of one of his albums, to a torchbearer for America at the Olympic Games? So Christy does this thing for a living. So when we come back, I want to find out from my friend Christy Peele how this happens. How do you do that for your clients? More with Christy when we come back. Everybody get up and listen to this woman, because baby, let me tell you something. When it comes to public relations and media and crisis management, she is the person for your business or your company. And Chrissy, you got to tell folks how they can get in touch with you, because Media Mindfield has been around a couple of years, but you know, anytime somebody comes to me and says, oh my God, we got this big thing and it's going bad and it's going south and we're trying to figure out how to manage it, I'm like, don't call me, call Jesus, and then you call Chrissy Peel, because she can be the one to help you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Media Mindfield, 14, it'll be 14 years old in September. Go to the website, Media Mindfield. You can find us there, and any social media platforms, you can find me or the company, and we will get back to you if you slide into our DMs, as the kids say.
You know what? And y'all are so responsive, and you know, you do so much to make sure that companies and organizations have the tools that they need, public relations, you coach up executives, you know, just all that stuff that you do that, you know, people take for granted that folks already know and they don't. And, you know, last night when I was watching the Olympics and I thought of you, I was like, can you please come on my show? Because you have to explain to me how Snoop Dogg went from rapping about being one of America's most wanted to being a torchbearer. He wasn't just at the Olympics hanging out with his family. He's carrying the torch, the freaking torch. You know, that is I'm talking a whole full circle moment. And you know, for somebody to go from, you know, being, you know, one of the, you know, most detested, quote unquote, gangster rappers to representing our country at the Olympics, you know, as a public relations person and a media person, how does that happen? How can you repair that image? Because, Chrissy, you and I both know folks are getting canceled left and right for doing a whole lot less than, you know, what Snoop Dogg was accused of doing in his rap lyrics and his music. And, you know, and he still found a way to be the guy that we all know and love today.
It's remarkable. And it speaks to, I think, one of the reasons that I love the Olympics so much is that it unites us, and there are so many redemptive stories that show up in the Olympics. And Snoop Dogg is the poster child of what America can stand for, frankly, and that is forgiveness, redemptive qualities, and unity. He, you know, almost 30 years ago had the trial that you mentioned, acquitted of murder, and was not just, you know, an edgy guy, but a criminal, as many people viewed him, even though he wasn't convicted. But he didn't have a great reputation, and certainly right. NBC was not going to connect their brand to him. However, the folks around him, his team, spent years, decades, redeeming his brand and allowing Snoop to be Snoop, which I think is one of the things that they did really well. He's still edgy. He's still out there talking about smoking his weed and, you know, it's not criminal anymore, but he still isn't someone who's necessarily mainstream. Not that I don't even know what mainstream is anymore, because the beautiful thing about America is there's so many different perspectives and cultures and genders and all these different things, right? It's so amazing what America means, because it's just such a big tent. And Snoop is there as someone who can speak for a certain part of America. Not everyone probably is mm-hmm. sitting around like you are cheering for him. My teenagers, my 20-something year old was like, this is so great that Snoop is there because he brings a different vibe. That's not for everybody. Kelly Clarkson brings a vibe. Peyton Manning brings a vibe. Mm-hmm. And Snoop was there with this different kind of audience, and he got to be himself, which I'm certain they told him, like, Snoop, keep the language, you know, family friendly. But he was very authentic to who he is. So over the course of decades, he was able to maintain his edgy, relevant brand, and he cleaned himself up. He's not, you know, getting arrested and being accused of crime. So he's done a lot of work on himself, and he never went away, which is those are the hallmarks: authentic forgiveness, asking and showing for forgiveness, which he's done right. over time, and got to give him credit.
Yeah. And, you know, my kids don't even know rapper Snoop Dogg. They know this Snoop Dogg. Like he's a different guy to a different generation. Like, my kids know him as Snoop Dogg, the voiceover actor, because he's in so many of their favorite movies. He's, you know, the voiceover artist for characters that they've come to love. And, you know, they've got the stuffed animals. And so that's how they know Snoop Dogg. They've never heard him rap. There's a whole generation of folks watching the Olympics who have never heard Snoop Dogg rap a lyric.
And those of us who do remember that, the 90s version of Snoop Dogg, we have short memories. Up until last night when you texted, remember when he was accused of murder? Right? I mean, I remembered it when you said it, and I remembered that he had a reputation that was different than what my kids think of him, but it just speaks to our short memories collectively and how we have the capacity to view people through different lenses.
Yes, ma'am. Well, girl, I tell you, I need you to work on that Snoop Dogg thing for me. I'm coming over there Monday, and I want to be at the next Olympics. It's in L.A. We're gonna fix all this stuff up. We're gonna get our Snoop Dogg on over here, girl. I want to be part of that torch-bearing thing. I said, look at, yeah, he got a good PR. He got good media people behind him, and we got a good media PR company here with Christy Peel and Media Minefield. Thank you for coming on the show, girl, and explaining how that miracle happened.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. I will text you while watching the Olympics. I got to get back. There's swimming on. There's these sports all happening I've never heard of before. Like, it's 2 weeks of awesomeness right now, Shaletta.
Right. And, you know, for folks who are wondering, Comcast and Peacock are making this available so you can watch every single thing. I've got a story about it up on my website at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. If you're wondering how you can see some of these things that are not on in prime time, I know that Comcast and their Peacock network, they're streaming some stuff. So you can go on my website, ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, and it'll explain how you can watch anything you want to watch with the Olympics. And we got Governor Tim Walz coming up on The Shaletta Show.